Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome into another episode of the Goodman Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He's Robbie Hummel. And we figured we'd get to it early this week. Usually we wait. We do kind of a midweek. Robbie's busy generally. But we wanted to kind of get to it early this week because there was a lot of action on Saturday.
There really was.
A lot of action.
Were you at the Phillies 68 game or no?
No, I didn't go there. I was supposed to take my daughter to Indiana, Kansas. And I've had this pretty bad cough for the last couple of weeks that just hasn't gone away. So I didn't want to be that asshole that was on the plane coughing all over everybody. You know,
saved your money and it was smart. So yeah. that was a good life choice.
My daughter was happy. Trust me. She was happy that we didn't go. It would have been an 8-hour drive.
Although Fog Allen is an amazing venue.
That's what I told her. I said, we'll go to Fog Allen at some point. It won't be an Indiana, Kansas game. Maybe we'll see Baylor, Kansas or something like that. Cause you know how much she likes Scott Drew. So, that would be a pretty good game to go to, but all right, let me start out first by, showing why I'm clad in Cardoz gear and Texas Tech gear. I just want to say how happy, Mark Adams and Texas Tech are that they were able to flip Cardoz. Obviously, he was ready to leave, ready to go in the portal. And then a couple conversations later, and maybe a little NIL money, and they flipped him. And he's decided to stay at Texas Tech. And I just hope he gets back on the court healthy. He just, a week ago, got the hard cast taken off his foot. And I think he's huge for them in terms of if he can get back healthy. I think they got some good players on that team. They could be a tournament team, but I think they need Cardoz back.
What was his injury?
He broke his foot. Yeah, broke his foot.
And he got out of a cast a week ago?
And he was in the cast for 12 weeks. So I don't know exactly what it was.
They think that he could be back soon?
Well, Mark Adams has been saying that he would be back before January 1st. I don't see any way. That after being in a hard cast for 12 weeks, that you are going to be back in 3 weeks. I think you're talking more mid-January at the earliest.
Right.
To just be safe with his career.
Totally.
So anyway, congrats to Texas Tech fans. That's why I'm wearing the Red Raiders hat right now. And I got my Cardoz shirt on here.
What is it, guns up?
Yeah.
Guns
up. This is a Utah Valley Cardoz shirt.
Okay. Nice.
So no guns up. But also congrats to Lionel Messi in Argentina. You missed it, I think, this morning. You were flying?
I did. I was in the airport. It was going on. People were talking about it a lot.
It was crazy, but, Rob. I'm not a soccer guy, but it was awesome.
Wait.
It really was.
It seems like a lot of these goals were scored on penalty kicks. Is that accurate? Kind of, I don't know. I just can't get into soccer. I can get into any sport when it's like national teams, the Olympic stuff, World Cup. But I just, the whole penalty kick, it's so hard to score. I hate that about soccer.
A lot of running without scoring.
Agreed. It can be boring.
And not even.
I know people really like soccer, but I just have never been able to get into it.
Well, it's like hockey people will rip on a little bit, but there's always chances. There's always
Yeah, the they ice is moved. The ice is so much shorter.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway.
Congrats anyway to Argentina. Hell of a game. Another congrats out before we start the pod to one Richard Pitino, who beat his dad. And all I could think about was watching Richard and how he's got this huge bald spot in the back of his head. And Rick, who's like 70 years old, has a perfect head of hair at 70. So, but Richard,
that's cool. They play each other. It was the like all access game tonight, right? They were mic'd.
I don't know if they were mic'd.
I didn't get to watch, but I thought they might have been. No.
No, I don't think they were mic'd. It was the first half. I wasn't watching it with volume on the first half. But yeah, it was kind of cool to watch him, and it was his first win against his dad. He had played him, I think, twice FIU when he was at FIU.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was at Louisville. Right. Yeah.
So this was like the fairest fight. But I love how Rick came to the pit to help out his son.
That is sweet.
To kind of help get that program back. And they got like – Richard was on earlier this week with us on After Dark. He's terrific.
He is awesome. I miss seeing him in the Big Ten. He's one of my favorite guys to talk to. Yep. You know, he's just honest.
It's not – there's no – it's funny. You would think with Richard that he would be an ego guy, and he's the opposite. Like, his dad's an ego guy. Let's face it. Like, Rick is an ego guy. And Richard is very much the opposite in terms of, like, very sarcastic. Like, will admit, obviously, like, hey, I know I got my opportunities to walk through that door because of my dad. But now he's earned it. And they're undefeated. They're one of four undefeated teams left in the country. So congrats to Richard Pitino there. All right, where do you want to start? We got two things we're going to go through. The big topics of the pod are going to be Big Ten power rankings.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's impossible.
We're going to do it anyway, even though it is like the most daunting task you could possibly.
I tried before we got on, and I got five teams written down, and I don't know how I'm going to fill in the rest. So we'll do whatever.
We'll go through that. Let's first go through Saturday and our takeaways from each of the big six games. And we'll even add seven. You were at Purdue, so we'll kind of let you go on Purdue. And in fact, let's let you start on Purdue because they played a couple close games here lately. And frankly, I'm moving them out of the one spot. I'm flipping it. I'm putting UConn at one, even though Purdue hasn't lost.
Did you consider Houston for one? They might have gotten the best road win. I know they've got one loss.
They got the home loss to Alabama. So you can't.
You have to keep it undefeated.
It's Purdue and UConn, and I've had Purdue there since I saw them in Portland 3 weeks ago, and I finally flipped it. And I generally don't do this, but I just think UConn's overall body of work now is more impressive, period.
Than Purdue's?
Yes. I do.
Explain.
Well, you look at the wins, and you say, okay, UConn's got wins now over Alabama on a neutral court, convincingly. Iowa State neutral, okay. They're not a top 25.
Jeff, I don't agree that their body work is better.
Overall, it is. Overall.
No, it's not. It's not better. There's no way.
You're saying you got Gonzaga and Duke on a neutral court if you're Purdue. You're saying those two wins. And those two wins are really good, and Marquette at home. And then
there's no debate. Purdue's body of work is better than Connecticut's.
The only thing is, I'll say, is UConn's at least won a couple games on the road so far that are
decent. UConn's strength of schedule, 176.
They beat Florida at Florida. They beat Butler.
Come on. If you're going to make the argument based off of their body of work, then you better turn around and change your reasoning.
All right, Purdue's so you're telling me I shouldn't flip them. You're telling me and
Purdue's strength of schedule is 22. No, you can flip them. I think Purdue has played pretty poorly the last two games. Just give me a better reason. Don't say it's on their body of work.
I guess it's more really impressive not... wins. I guess it's not just the body of work, but how they've won.
All right, then you could say that.
You know,
then don't and say it's the body of work.
You're splitting hairs. I don't think it matters.
I agree. They're 1-2.
They're 1-2.
But
clearly,
Purdue's resume of wins is better. You might make the case that UConn is playing better.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, give me your take now on Purdue after watching them struggle on Saturday against a Davidson team that honestly looked like I was guarding Zach Edey out there. That's how, honestly, it looked like they were playing 6'5 guys against Zach Edey for a good portion of that
game. I mean, Zach Edey is like Shaq right now. It's unbelievable. And he's not as good as Shaq, but that's the way he's looking against some of these teams right now. And, you know, the concerning thing about Purdue is definitely the 7 of 29 from 3 against Nebraska. And then you follow that up with a performance where you go 3 of 25 from 3 against Davidson. I will say, though, in both games, they're getting wide open shots. I mean, Zach Edey is attracting so much attention that these skip paths, they're wide open, and they're for guys that Matt Painter believes are really good shooters. So I think even the percentage, I think they're shooting like 31 from 3 now on the year. So they're going to get kind of the Trayce Jackson-Davis treatment, right, that we saw Kansas and all these Rutgers.
They have better shooters than
Indiana. They totally have better shooters than Indiana, but they're going to have to prove it because right now they're just not making shots. But they're, again, like Fletcher Loyer, Matt Painter considers him like a Ryan Smith, Ryan Klein type shooter. And
he was a freshman, Rob. He is a freshman.
I know, but he's been like their second best player.
I know, but like there aren't many guys that come out. I say this all the time, and I can't remember which one it was. I think it might have been Reggie Bullock years ago. And he was an elite shooter coming into college. Mm-hmm. And he had a miserable freshman.
Well, John Diebler is a great example. He shot like 26.
That's what I'm saying. Like as freshmen.
It can happen. Agreed.
Everybody's Grady Dick, right? Grady Dick is shooting 47%. Everybody knew he was an elite perimeter shooter. There aren't a lot of guys that come out of the gates doing that as freshmen.
I think I shot like 44 as a freshman, I think.
Did you?
Short line.
Did you really?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Wow.
That was my best year shooting, actually. But the line was shorter.
Because nobody was yelling, shooter, shooter, shooter that year. Everybody's like.
My reputation preceded itself coming. If I was anything coming into college, I would have been thought of.
No, they were yelling shooter at Scott Martin, not you.
Well, Scott could shoot too. But Scott could score.
He was the higher ranked guy. He was the better player.
Depends on what site you look at. You know, Rivals, Jerry Meyer was showing me more love. But then you look at like ESPN and those other ones, they went with Scott, which is fair because Scott was a really good high school player. Back to the discussion of Purdue.
Yes.
Their guards really struggled. They got wide open shots. Zach Edey again, 29-16, 6 offensive rebounds. I mean, just totally physically dominating games. He played 34 minutes again. It's his 9th game of over 32 minutes. I mean, he played 42 at Nebraska.
And he's looked good. Like, he's
in phenomenal shape. He's right. In phenomenal shape. Yeah. He's been incredible. I mean, this is now, what, 11 straight KenPom MVP. Yeah. Caleb First gave them a really nice boost off the bench in the second half. He was really good. They get Mason Gillis back. I'm still high on Purdue. Yeah. I think that these jump shots are going to go down. But right now, you're going to have to prove that. And they are really, really struggling to shoot the ball from the perimeter.
I'm fine with it, though, because honestly, they're winning games while not shooting it well. Those shots are going to fall, and you'd rather them not fall against Davidson, right? Totally. You want them to fall when Big Ten play is starting.
Absolutely.
And getting going. So, to be honest, I'm fine with it.
It also gets their attention, right? They're not just guns blazing through here. Matt Painter can use this and be like, guys, you know.
Yeah, but it's like the best way to use it, right? We didn't lose.
Right.
But we almost lost to a team that we shouldn't have even been playing with. That's the best way to be able to get a team's attention. And I think this is a team that is coachable, that will.
And they're defending. I mean, they hold Davidson. Not that Davidson's an offensive juggernaut, but they hold them to 61 points. They're a much better defensive team than last year, which is not saying much, but they are much improved.
All right. We're going to spend like 3 minutes on each of these games. All right. We're going to
let's start with Indiana, Kansas, please.
We're going to start with Indiana, Kansas. And again, your biggest takeaway can be anything. One thing from that game. Not one thing from each team.
Mine. My biggest takeaway is, what the hell, Indiana? Like, what are you doing? The running offense, like, it's 5-on-0. Like, there's no defense. Just throwing the ball into the other team. 23 turnovers? I mean, it was a terrible performance. I don't even think Kansas played well. Dylan Wilson didn't play well. They weren't fully together at all times on the double with Trayce Jackson-Davis. Like, they gave up some open shots. But again, 6 of 19 from three. Trayce Jackson-Davis has 2 and 3 bodies around him. He didn't play all that well either. You know, I felt like at Rutgers, he didn't score it well, but he was making the right passes. And I just didn't feel like he played well at Kansas. The turnovers were bad. Their pick and roll defense, holy shit. I mean, like, basic stuff. You've got a situation where I think it was Trey Galloway is guarding Joseph Yesufu. He's the low man in pick and roll. You've got KJ Adams rolling to the rim. Yesufu, I don't even know what his percentage is, but I'm guessing you should be in. He wasn't even looking to shoot when he had the ball. He's just hugged up out on the perimeter. Like, scouting report stuff, basic pick and roll defense. The weak side help was a tragedy. I was so disappointed in Indiana. You know, there's no excuses now. Put Schifino's back, and I know. Look, he's
been out. Got hurt, but they were already down. They were down 20.
Hurt, but they were
down 20 already.
No,
I feel like
they were not playing well, and that's a big loss for them. They need him to be good.
Yep.
But I mean, nothing was good about Indiana, and it's a good win for Kansas. But I didn't really feel like Kansas played all that well.
All right, so I'll flip it, and I'll say my biggest takeaway is that Kansas can go back to back. They could defend. Yeah. They could defend. I never would have said that before yesterday. But I really believe that looking at this team, not necessarily that they beat Indiana the way they did, just watching this team right now and saying DeJuan Harris is
we owe him an apology. Remember the Kansas fans that were clowning us for not drafting him? They were right to clown us because
he's awesome. Because he guards, he makes people better. And he's not like a big time offensive player, but he can give you 10. He's not a liability anymore offensively.
But in a year of point guards where it's kind of like, you know, he's one of the clear cut better ones. For
no
sure.
Doubt. You take him over 95% of them out
there. He should have been drafted in our draft. What were we thinking?
I know. We'll redraft in a month.
Our drafts are going to be really terrible. My team sucks.
I don't even want to look at my team right now. But, all right. So Wani Harris, awesome at the point, right? Grady Dick, you're not going to find
Stud.
A better wing shooter. And by the way, he's not just a shooter. He's 6'8", and he's more athletic than you think. He can put in the floor some. He's not a train wreck defensively for a freshman who wants to score. Then you got Jalen Wilson, who's a go-to type guy this year. Like, you can put the ball in his hands.
He was 4 of 18. I mean, he did not play well.
He can be a guy that you say, hey,
end the game. We're going to him.
Right? Go get me a bucket. He can do that. There aren't a lot of guys out there that you can say that about this year, right? The best players are bigs. And then to me, you know, McCullough's awesome for what he is.
Knows
awesome.
His role, guards his ass off.
It's 10, he put up 11,
he 11 rebounds. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And then, like, they're big men. They're not great, but you know what? By committee, they're pretty good. And KJ Adams,
he played awesome, honestly. KJ Adams was phenomenal.
Because you can switch everything with him.
Yep.
Like, that's the beauty. Right. Offensively, it's not the same. Obviously, he can't score like McCormick. You can't throw the ball to him like you could at McCormick down the stretch last year.
Right, right.
He doesn't.
Let me read this off to you because I don't want Kansas fans to feel like maybe I was very harsh in Indiana, rightfully so, and I think I should give Kansas a little more credit because they were a big part of that.
Yep.
Points off turnovers, 28-13 to Kansas. Points in the paint, 50-24 for Kansas.
Fast break, 22-12.
Ass-kicking.
The points in the paint is the most embarrassing thing for Indiana.
Totally. That's
because
awful.
You have Trayce and Race. You're built
and like you
on,
said, no David McCormick.
Right,
KJ Adams is a dump down guy. That's their guards getting in the paint.
Amazing.
That's dump offs. It's just horrible pick and roll defense. Indiana, I don't know what the hell that was, but that was awful.
All right. Next game. Your pick.
Let's talk about Gonzaga, Alabama.
Okay. Your biggest takeaway.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I would say that while Drew Timmy is always going to be the story for Gonzaga at 29, their other guys gave them more than enough. And this game was a total track meet. It was honestly really enjoyable to watch. Anton Watson played really well. He gives you 17. I thought, you know, Julian Strother, he's their second guy. He gives you 11. Nolan Hickman played really well. 13. Bolton gives you 11. And then Malachi Smith had one of his better games that I've seen in a Gonzaga uniform. He gives you 12. On the flip side of that, Brandon Miller is awesome. His shot making was incredible. I mean, 36 points. But it was a track meet game. It was really enjoyable to watch. Defense was like the most optional thing you'll ever see. 100-90 win for Gonzaga. But I was impressed with the other guys. And I thought Gonzaga's experience shone through at the end of the game from a shot selection standpoint, from a taking care of the basketball standpoint. Bama had, you know, 21 turnovers. Yeah. But their freshmen are fun. I will say watching the game was really enjoyable.
So what I'll say is I think we got too carried away on Alabama when they went to Houston and won that game. I think we got too carried away. I still think they've got a long way to go, and they're going to be inconsistent this year because they play four freshmen so many minutes. And the other big thing that has worried me, from especially when I watched them in person, was just how small those guards are.
Yeah.
They're tiny. Quinterly, Sears, Bradley, they have no length. They've got great length up front.
Yeah, with like Bediako and Brandon Miller and
Clowney. Clowney's huge. I like their team, and they're going to get like Dom Welch back, and Namari Burnett's going to be back in 6 weeks.
How tall? Burnett's what, 6'6"? 6'5"?
Yeah. So he's a bigger guard. He's key because he can guard those bigger wings. Mm-hmm. And Welch can really shoot it from St. Bonnie's. He's been out all year so far. But I just think we got carried away. Alabama, to me, is in the equation for the best team in the SEC. And maybe next week we'll do SEC power rankings because I think the top four there are pretty difficult, too. I don't think there's
it's really hard. One. Yeah, totally. So everybody's kind of like got Alabama, some warts there, right?
What's up?
Everybody's kind of got some warts there at the top.
Yeah, I mean, they're up and down. They're all up and down. We saw our Tennessee, we'll talk about that one next. We'll go on to it now, I guess, the Tennessee-Arizona game. Like, Tennessee's a good team, but they're offensively challenged, and that worries me about Tennessee. But I'm gonna talk about Arizona, my alma mater here, because I think the biggest takeaway for me now is Tommy Lloyd. Man, like last year, it was, all right, well, he inherited Sean Miller's players, right? He had a lottery pick in Bat Mathurin. He had Koloko, one of the best.
Really, 7-foot freak of nature athlete.
Yeah, just like an elite defender. He could guard anybody. And I was like, all right, you can play Koloko and Balo together, right? Like, you play those two together. Because Koloko was so good defensively. Well, now he's playing Balo and Tubelis together a lot.
Yeah.
And they're still, you know, again, they're scoring. Obviously, that's the biggest thing for Arizona. But Tommy Lloyd, to me, what he's proven in the first year and change now, year and a third of the season, is really, really impressive. And they're just so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
That's the other part is like you want to go – if you're a fan – an Arizona fan, you're excited to go watch him because you know they're putting up 80, 90 points.
Offensively, they're playing fast. Yeah. They're skilled. Tubelis is awesome. And honestly, I thought Tennessee did a pretty good job on the high-low stuff. And with that being said, Tubelis gives you 19, Balo gives you 18. Let's talk about your boy Kirk Kreisa. 2 for 9,
yep.
1 for 7. I know he's been hurt. 8 points, yep. 5 assists. The technical foul almost.
Was that him or Ballo? Who was that on the bench?
I thought it was him from what they said on the TV broadcast. Ballo was kind of out there too, but they made it look like it was Kreisa.
I think it was the bench overall, maybe. And Kerr doesn't shut up. And that's part of the beauty of Kerr and part of the curse, right? Like, yeah, you got to take the good and the bad with Kerr. I think there's more good.
Agreed.
You know this. For a college team, listen, for a college team, in a way, you need that guy who brings that shit, that swagger a little bit. And he brings it, and he talks. And, yeah, there are games where I'm like, he's still talking when he's 0 for 11.
No. That's what you have to respect about him. He's not a front runner. He will talk as much shit when he's playing like trash as when he is playing.
I love
really
that.
Well.
Like, so honestly.
Some guys will be, they'll be the deal where, hey, I'm playing good, I'm running my mouth, but now when I'm playing like, a dog, then I stop. But I don't know. The Tech was huge. I mean, Tennessee almost flips that, and they had multiple good looks to win the game after they were down, 10? The free throws, to 8.
Game should have been
over. It was like a bucket for Arizona and an immediate 7-2 run, and it's like we're right back in it. Tennessee is so physical defensively.
Yep.
I really like Ziegler, watching him play.
He's fun. He's tough.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's just out there making plays.
Don't have enough other guys who.
That's the thing. You know who played well was Kamwa. Kamwa actually played really, really well. I think he had 16-4-5.
And he didn't do much last year at all.
Right. But Tyreek Key had some good looks into the game. I know Rick Barnes was not happy with the officials with some of the calls at the end of the game. But no, I think Tennessee's good. I just think Arizona is one of the elite teams this year.
They're really good. And Courtney Ramey's like perfect for that team and that offense. And, they didn't get any bench points. That's the only thing that worries me. And I don't think that'll continue. They got, the Henderson kid who transferred in, Adama Ball has given some minutes here and there.
Yeah, he played well against Indiana, didn't he?
Yes. Ball. Yes. So I think they've got like 8 dudes, and the kid Boswell, the point guard who was hurt all last season, off season. He's played a little bit already because Kerr was, like you said, I don't know what Kerr ate last game, but I think it landed him in the toilet for most of that game.
What were your thoughts on the scuffle after the game where Ballo, the photo of Ballo with the double barrels to the sky?
As an Arizona alum, I'm all for it. I'd be doing the same thing, come on.
God.
Like, I got no problem with it.
That was funny. Courtney Ramey was definitely talking some serious trash.
Listen, again.
Tennessee dudes weren't having it.
Well, I think that was the thing, is Arizona walked in there hearing about how tough this Tennessee team was, mm-hmm. right? How physical, how tough. And I think
how about Plavsic trying to I know he was an Arizona State guy. I'm sure it was before. Sure he was fired up to play. But even I saw Rick Barnes came out and was like, all right, this needs to stop. Some of the antics here, the technical fouls are really hurting us.
Yeah, they weren't good. All right, next one. Maybe the biggest one of the day in a way. Well, they're all big unto themselves. Carolina, Ohio State. Give me your big takeaway with Carolina.
It was a toughness win. And it was that's a team that I think we've not seen that a lot from. I would say Caleb Love still makes me shake my head and just be like, what is happening? Some of the shots he's taking, he's so streaky. I mean, he makes a couple and all of a sudden you're like, this dude could literally run off 10 in a row. He's that type of player. But he takes some shots where you're just like, what am I watching? But with that being said, I felt like they did a better job late in the game. And honestly, end of the first half, end of the second half, of getting Baycott the ball. You get Baycott some touches, even if you can play inside out through him. I just think that when you throw him the basketball, good things happen. But a really frustrating loss for Ohio State in the sense that you had the game won. Brutal. Your freshmen, honestly, they've got some freshmen who are really good players. Bruce Thornton is going to be a really good player.
How big
is a freaking beast?
How big are both those dudes? They look like seniors. They're built like football players.
Bruce Thornton is like Isaac Likely, just again. You know,
he could shoot it. He could shoot it a little bit,
but with a much, I meant just body
type.
And they honestly missed ice. they missed his ball handling late in the game. The press really hurt them.
Yep.
Just having an experienced ball handler out there. But Bruce Thornton is a stud, and Bryce Sensabaugh is a stud. Now, Sensabaugh's defense is not great, but him as a scorer is so impressive to see.
And the kid Okpara played well.
Just got in foul trouble because he's not physically ready for what Armando Baker.
But he did a good job.
But he's got some ability. Yes.
To be honest, I feel like he could be a key because they need length. They need Zed Key. I mean, I love him to death, but again, he's like what? What is he? 6'6" and a half?
Yeah, I think he's a little taller than that.
Is he? All right, maybe 6'7". All right. My take on this one was I loved the fact that Hubert Davis on the final play of regulation, when Sensabaugh hit the shot with 2 seconds left, first he advanced the ball, called timeout. I think everybody in the arena thought he was going to give the ball to Caleb Love and let him jack it. And he didn't. He finally, I think they finally understood that, you know what? We're not going to go sink or swim with Caleb Love anymore. We're going to find the open guy. We're going to get somebody, whoever it is, we've got enough options. We got 4 options in the court that can all score, right? Caleb, RJ, Baycott, and I think Pete Nance is capable.
He can score.
Correct.
I mean, he's been made a scapegoat in all this, and that's not fair because their guards have not played nearly as well as what everybody's been like, well, you know, Pete Nance is no Brody Manek. No, I mean, he might not be the shooter he is, but they have struggled because their guards have not been as good as 100%. They were in the tournament.
100%. But I just think Hubert and the staff might have learned through Portland that, hey, you know what? We're not doing this shit anymore. We're not doing this with Caleb. Like, it doesn't work. He can be the hero, but as many times he can be the hero, we've seen it this year. I mean, they lost 4 straight, and a lot of those were just letting him go. And I think the beauty of this team is, again, 4 really good players and find the one that's open. Find the one that's
I would say 5. Leaky Black is an elite role player.
Just he not did. An offensive player.
No, not a scorer, but he's
right. So I'm saying they got really 4 offensive options.
Okay. Yep.
And move the ball. And even Leaky, get him wide. Nobody's gonna guard him. Right. So you know what? Like, go Leaky. Take uncontested 12-footers all day or drive it. Just drive it to the basket when you get it. You can do that. You can finish around the rim.
Think about this though, Jeff. Caleb Love puts up a stat line. It's an overtime game, so this gets inflated a little bit. But 22 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 turnovers.
Yeah.
And he's 8 of 20. And I still was like at times, 4 of 13 from 3. But at times I'm just like, what the hell is happening? And even Bill Raftery is calling the game. He's just, and he was even like, what is this?
He doesn't know when.
But that helped him last year because he was just making huge shots, and I don't think it didn't affect him because he doesn't have a conscience of shooting the ball, you know?
And he feels
no pressure with that stuff.
No, he still doesn't. All right, the next one, 5 of 6, UCLA, Kentucky. What do you got?
Well, you know, UCLA, my takeaway from this is what a week for them. I mean, to go to Maryland and destroy them, and then take the train up to New York, which I read that they did that, which is actually kind of
very cool.
Yeah. Take the train from DC up to New York City, play at the Garden. And the biggest surprise to me was that the game was as close as it was, because I never felt like it should have been a close game. And even when Kentucky made their runs, Kentucky's half court offense is horrible. But the problem is, I mean, you've got 2 guys on the floor a lot of the game in Xavier Wheeler and Jacob Toppin, who they can't shoot. So even when you get the ball moving and popping, it swings to them. Defense catches right back up.
Yep.
You know, there was a possession where they threw it to Jacob Toppin, who was like cutting in. And what would normally be just a wide open, they've moved the ball, defense is in rotation. And what normally would be a possession where you're like, all right, wide open three, he's cutting right back to the defense that's now right next to him. You know, like the game plan UCLA had on Shibuye was really good. It was much like Kansas's game plan for Trace Jackson Davis, just load up, and really for Zach Edey, what Davidson did to Zach Edey, load up, throw bodies at the best player, limit him. Yep. He ends up with 16 rebounds, gets 8 offensive, but only 8 points. But for UCLA, they turn you over. They'll punk you out defensively. I love watching them defend. Jalen Clark has vision defensively.
He's awesome.
That is unbelievable. Like, unbelievable.
Elite defender. Elite.
I mean, he's taking guys' balls. Ball handler turns their back. He's going to get it. Shooting through passing lanes.
He'll be an NBA player, Rob.
I agree. I agree with you. And then Jaime Jaquez has been terrific. You know, he is inserting himself into the National Player of the Year conversation.
So my takeaway is the disappointment that is Kentucky right now. I mean, Michigan State, you should have had that one. You don't. You piss it away, to be honest. You know, you get outcoached, frankly. You go to Gonzaga, you get outplayed, which no shame in. They're playing in Spokane, but they were never really in that game.
Yeah.
And then this game, you score 53 points. 53 points. I mean, this is a joke. You've got Oscar Tshiebwe, the best or one of the best big men in the country.
National Player of the Year last year.
That's right. You've got Cason Wallace, who's a top 15 pick.
He did not play well.
No, he didn't in this game, but he's played well for the most part this season. He hasn't been the issue.
Right.
You've got, you know, to me, two shooters, and we've talked about this, Reeves and Frederick.
Awful. Frederick barely played.
Yeah, they were 6-21 from three, but like, you've got to find the right lineup. Chris Livingston actually was like the bright.
He was their bright spot.
He was good. Other than that, they sucked. And to me, there's way too much talent. And I've said this before on John Calipari. Listen, he's won at the highest level, out talenting people. Period. He has. And now he's got a veteran team, right? He's got veterans instead of the one and dones. But he's not going to out-talent a lot of teams anymore. You know, he's going to have similar level talent. Although, again, you look at it and you're saying, like, you know, he's probably only going to have talented.
I mean,
well, they'll probably only have
their shooting, though. Their shooting is just horrible.
But it shouldn't be, Rob. That's the problem. You've got two dudes who can shoot the shit out of the ball. Put them out there together. Get Sevier Wheeler on the bench. Wallace is shooting the hell out of the ball for the most part. He didn't shoot it well in this game, but he's been really good.
Dude, I'm looking at this. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. CJ Frederick had a 6 trillion, Titus's deal. 0-for-0 from the field, 0-for-0 from three, 0-for-0 from the line. Wow. No rebounds, no points, no fouls, no fouls drawn, no assists, no turnovers, no steals, no blocks. He was out there for 6 minutes and recorded no stats.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, no, that's he's got to do.
Balls
gotta find a way.
Yeah, like the ball was, bounces your way.
Rob, he was like a 45% 3-point shooter at Iowa. At Iowa, not like it. Antonio Reeves did it in the mid-major level. He did it in the Big Ten.
Yeah, he was a good player at Iowa. Like, it was a huge loss when they lost.
Yes. So, all right, last one, and then we'll get to our Big Ten power rankings here. Last game was the Houston Virginia game. What do you got?
Boy, Jairus Walker is nice. He is nice. And I knew that because I saw him out in Oregon before PKI. I did the game against it was Houston, Oregon. I thought Kelvin Sampson, though, they didn't necessarily blitz ball screens the way that they usually do. I think they were worried about Virginia's shooting. And because of that, they just were at the level and got back. And I thought it was a really effective game plan. I like a lot of the guys in their team. I really like Jamal Shedd. I mean, he just runs the show, doesn't care about numbers, makes plays for other people. Jairus Walker was phenomenal. Had 17, 7-4. And then, you know, who was actually really, really good. And he's been in Coach Sampson's doghouse some throughout his time down at Houston was Reggie Chaney. Reggie Chaney was awesome in the game.
Awesome.
You talk about a role guy starring in his role. And his line, you look at a box score, you'd miss it. Played 16 minutes, 2 points, 5 rebounds, 5 fouls, and 2 assists. Also had 2 blocks. But he made some passes that were really good. He defended the rim. He was just a force off the bench. And, you know, Houston is a team where they can punk you on the glass. They can punk you with their defense. They tweaked it a little bit to not be so aggressive in that regard. But I just massive road win, really good win for Houston. They are going to be in the discussion of being the number one team in the country all year long.
Yeah, I've tried for each game to kind of go the opposite team. to give something else that you haven't already given, but I can in this one. I'm with you on Houston. I think they're as good as any team in the country. First of all, they've got three really good perimeter players, yep. right? When so many teams don't have a point guard, they've got a really good one in Jamal Shedd. Marcus Sasser can play with the ball in his hands, and Tremont Mark has size and can also score. So you got three really good perimeter players. Jairus Walker is only going to get better and better. Man, he was, again, I said this in After Dark Saturday night, but like the most impressive thing to me about him was his passing.
On yeah. Saturday. Yep. Other than the one he threw late where he turned it over where he should have shot it. But he did make some really good passes.
Yeah, was Terrence Arsenault hurt? That from
him. Was Arsenault hurt? Or did he just not?
I don't know if he hurt or in the doghouse a little bit. Yeah, yeah. You never know with Kelvin.
That's true. That's true.
But Arsenault's a great guy to have as your life.
He's talented. He played great at Oregon.
Yeah. And they got the two bigs are good, right? Roberts and Chaney are just like, they know their role.
But that's the whole team. The whole team with Kelvin's groups are always so locked into what they're supposed to do. And that's why they're so fun to watch, because the role definition is never an issue down there.
That's right. All right, let's get on to your favorite part of your homework for this podcast, which is Big Ten Power Rankings. And it was the same thing for me. It is a absolute effing mess. The only things, and I feel like we should just go through, start there, because I think we both probably
hold
have
on. I need to pull up a list of the teams in the Big Ten Conference. All right, I got one. Well, where are we starting? 14 start. Or starting at 14 or one?
Yeah, let's work our way down. Let's start at 14. Start at 14.
14 is easy. Minnesota.
Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota's 14. They haven't really beaten anybody.
Very young team.
Yeah, they've had some injuries. Yep. You know, they got a couple. You know, obviously they got Dawson Garcia there and Jameson Battle.
Yeah. They just need to keep their freshmen in that core, freshmen and sophomores together. If they can do that, then this would not be a season that could get lost. But if you start having guys go in the portal, that's a huge problem.
Agreed. All right. So Minnesota 14. I have Nebraska 13.
Same. Even though they've played better, and they're going to beat people this year.
Yeah, yeah, they'll listen in this league. Shit, they could get 4 or 5 wins.
For as good as the Big Ten started, I feel like this last week was a very comeback to the planet type week.
I would not agree. Good. I would agree. Not what you want.
Who's doing cartwheels? T.O.
Very true. Very
He's doing true. Cartwheels over that.
12.
This is where this becomes really hard.
See, it doesn't become hard for me at 12.
I mean, I guess Northwestern, but they're 8-2. They just murdered DePaul. They lost to Pittsburgh, though. So that definitely knocks them down, because that was an awful 30-point home loss. So, yeah, Northwestern, fine.
Yeah, I mean, the only win they've gotten that would make you think otherwise is Michigan State.
I mean, they almost beat Auburn.
Yeah.
But then I think losing to Auburn the way they did then beat them against Pitt.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going Northwestern at 12. Just until they prove otherwise, they're 12.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. 11. And I'll tell you what, the 11th place team in this league could just as easily be your like
third,
sixth place team.
Fourth. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I go as far as third or fourth, but like your 11th place team today could finish sixth in the league and it wouldn't shock me.
This is not what we think they're going to finish. This is what we think they are right now. Correct.
Today.
Jesus, dude. I keep thinking Michigan. But their losses aren't so bad.
Yeah.
You know, they lost to Kentucky, lost to Virginia, lost to Arizona State. It's not Michigan. I don't know. I really don't.
All right. I'll
Rutgers? No.
Yeah, I'm going Rutgers.
I guess they've lost three of four.
And they lost
two of three. They should have honestly
Hall
they got
home Rob, they lost Seton Hall, the Seton Hall at home.
Ohio State game, they should have won.
Yeah.
The refs screwed them.
Yeah, I'm going Rutgers at 11. So we'll kind of do this as a combined effort as far as we can. And then we may stray off at some point. But
I'll roll with Rutgers too.
Yep, Rutgers at 11. And then I got.
But they, Rutgers could finish fifth or sixth, like you said, or even like they could easily do that.
Totally. I don't think they will, but I got Penn State at 10.
No, I disagree. They're playing great. They kicked the shit out of Illinois.
I know, but like, I get it. They did. There was a hell of a win. It's a hell of a win.
You cannot put them 10th after winning that game.
I get it, but it's one win. They also lost to Clemson.
But how long – I mean, that's the part about this. How long do you punish a team for a road double overtime loss?
I don't know. I mean, I just think Illinois' body of work is so much better. They played a tough schedule. I think.
But so you're going to rate the team that they just beat the hell out of on their home floor higher than Penn State?
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're diverging here.
All right.
You're going Penn State. Yeah. I'm going to go – This is not even a fun exercise because it's
you're gonna get crushed no matter what.
I know. I think I'm gonna go with Iowa right now because they didn't play well against Duke. They didn't play well against Wisconsin. Chris Murray is not there.
Iowa State by 1,000 points without Chris Murray.
What's that?
They beat Iowa State by 1,000 without Chris Murray though.
That's true. I don't know if I should go with Iowa. I hate this exercise.
You don't want to go with anybody.
I can't do this. There's no computing in my brain of how
you have to pick a team at 10. You have to pick somebody.
I mean, should it be Maryland? They just got 30 piece by UCLA. They've lost 3 in a row, granted to all good teams. Oh my God. I hate this.
It's so bad.
It's so hard.
Like you said, every team has struggled lately. That's the problem. You got to go with somebody here. I know. Indiana just got blasted. Illinois hasn't played great. Maryland's been.
But it's
bad.
Like, how much do you weigh into account the teams they're playing? Indiana's lost to Arizona, who's a national championship contender, and Kansas, who's a national championship contender.
Right.
But they also lost at Rutgers and looked awful doing it.
And they haven't been in the games. They haven't been.
And now we've put Rutgers behind Indiana after they beat them, although it was 2 weeks ago. All right, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go Maryland.
Maryland it is. Maryland.
They lost by 30. So
yeah, that's fair. Whatever. That's fair. All right. You got Maryland. I got Penn State. I'm going to go Michigan at 9. You know, they lost to Kentucky. Right.
Yeah, I like Michigan at 9 too. That's good.
You know, like who have they? I mean, really, who have they beaten, Rob?
No one. They almost lost Eastern Michigan too.
Their best win of the season is Pittsburgh on a neutral site.
Yeah,
that's their best. They should honestly be. You know what? I'm going to change mine. I'm going Michigan at 10. Penn State.
See, I was trying to do that, and I feel like you talked me out of it.
Yeah, I think you want to put Michigan at 10 with me?
Yeah, Michigan's at 10 for me, and Maryland slides to 9th.
Yeah, it's not quite as bad. I got Penn State at 9. And then I'm going to go with I got Michigan State at 8 right now. I don't love it, but like
– Well, I mean, shit, you lose to Notre Dame by a million, and then Northwestern comes to your building. Yeah, and
I got them at –
But then they went to Penn State and won, who I'm about to rank higher than them.
Yeah, I got Michigan State at 8. Who do you got at 8?
Yeah, fine. No. No, they get credit for winning at Penn State. I'm going Iowa at 8.
Iowa at 8. All right, I'm going Iowa at 7. Who you got at 7?
Michigan State's good.
All right. I have Ohio State at 6. They really haven't beaten anybody great this year.
No, I mean Rutgers.
San Diego State?
They beat Cincinnati and Texas Tech. Texas Tech was their best.
Right, that's their best win. To be honest,
Rutgers on KenPom is their best win.
Okay, you could put them. Yeah, I mean 6 might be even high for them.
Jesus, this is terrible. All right. Yeah, I'm cool with Ohio State there. That's good.
Okay. All right. So what we have left now, just to recap here right now, who we have left on the board is Purdue, Wisconsin,
Indiana, Illinois. I have Penn State.
You're Penn State. I still have Maryland.
Yeah. Well, do you think Maryland's playing better than
– No, but I'm going Maryland here. I don't think they play well, but UCLA is really good.
No, they are. They are.
I just think Maryland earned some equity early in the
season. That's fine. That's fine.
I'm going to go with them at five.
And that they've lost. They've lost three straight, you know.
Right. If no, it might be high. Absolutely. I'm
going to go Illinois at five. They're a train wreck right now.
Yeah, they've been bad. I'm going Illinois at four.
I'm going Penn State at four. Oof. Wow. I mean, they're balling. Jalen Pickett, let's go.
They're balling. All right, so now we're down to, which is amazing, who we have left.
I mean, I can't fathom that I just watched Indiana this morning. Right. In the you're airport, them, and I'm going to put
actually,
them
you know
three.
What?
They can't be at three. I'm not putting Indiana at three.
Yeah, I'm putting Indiana at four and Illinois at three.
Yeah, Penn State is moving up a spot to three for me.
And you're going Indiana at four.
Who do I go?
Do you want Indiana at four? Right now, you have Illinois at five, Indiana at four, Penn State at three. Is that what you want? No.
I mean, I could not fathom how bad IU played yesterday. I'll go, IU. I mean, what? I'm putting them at fourth, and they get credit for beating Nebraska at home?
What, do you want Illinois at four?
No, I don't. They shouldn't be that high either. But no one is deserving to be above them.
Right.
You know what? Illinois has got to be higher than Indiana because they definitely need to get at least some sort of credit for beating Texas on a neutral site, right?
Right.
That's not that long ago.
It was not. It feels like a while ago, but it was not.
Feels like forever ago. All right. Illinois is at four for me. Indiana I guess, is at five, which I have no idea how, but
I have Indiana at four right now. And yeah. All right. So I assume we both have Wisconsin at two.
Yep.
And Purdue at one. So basically the tiers are fairly I mean, what we agree on easy is Purdue and Wisconsin at one and two. After that, it gets completely messy from three all the way down. I mean, we kind of, boy, I mean, again, Michigan at 10, like it's a disaster.
I don't know. I cannot wait to see Andy Katz release his BTN rankings because the fans are going to murder him.
No matter what.
No, it will be a slaughter for him this week. It will be.
I'm gonna have Jacob, our producer, just put your Big Ten. Mine will be nowhere to be found after this.
Don't do that. I don't want them out here. I really don't because it's all these power rankings end up being is people get so pissed. It's unbelievable.
I'm gonna put them out and just say, hey, tweet at Hummel. At Hummel, tweet out of all of your issues.
The Maryland fans will be furious. The Michigan fans will be furious. The Iowa fans will be furious.
I'm probably going to tag Hunter Dickinson.
I can't believe that I put Illinois 4 and IU 5. How could I do that?
I know.
I think that Indiana cannot be 5. They can't.
But who, again, all right, so I would say this. And this is probably the best way of doing it right now. Neutral court. That's how we probably should have figured this out, to be honest. It's neutral court. Who wins? Indiana. Who are you taking, Indiana or Ohio State today?
Indiana.
Okay. Indiana, Maryland.
Indiana.
So Indiana does belong somewhere in that top four or five. Indiana, Penn State.
Boy, that'd be a tough matchup for Penn State. But they could also, you know,
spread them out.
They'd spread them out, bombs away from three, and Jalen Pickett just backs everybody down.
All I know is
they have to get credit for their wins. That's what I'm saying. Penn State deserves credit for winning Illinois. That is the best in-conference win of anyone in the early conference games.
Rob, I'm so tired from trying to do this.
I was trying to do it before we got on here, and I had to stop.
Mentally worn down.
Yes, it broke me. I couldn't. That's why I called you. I was like, let's just start. I can't do this.
It's really hard. Purdue, Wisconsin at the top. The bottom, Northwestern, Nebraska, and Minnesota.
Northwestern's won by 40 against a high major opponent. We put them 12th.
Yeah, and they could honestly this year. They could,
and they won at Michigan State. How can we put them 12?
How could should they be 12?
No, if you think about it, I mean,
we've got Michigan State at where?
7.
Yeah, that's high.
You can't think about this. They have not lost since it turned December. Their last loss is on November 28th in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and we have them 12. They can't be 12. But I feel like you could look at every team and be like, they shouldn't be there.
I mean, other than beating Michigan State, I guess, like you said, they almost beat Auburn in what was one of the ugliest games you will ever see. You know, they beat
Georgetown. State.
Aikens was just – right? Wasn't that Aikens' first game back?
I think so.
I feel like it was his first game back. They obviously still didn't have Hall. I
mean, Boo Booey is the Michigan State killer.
Is the Michigan State.
He has slaughtered Michigan State in his career.
All right.
That was not fun.
No, please don't tweet that. This was a tough pod. This was a grueling, mentally grueling podcast.
I mean, the first part I really enjoyed. The 7 games from yesterday were awesome. I had a great time watching
those. After that, you hated it.
But I did not enjoy the rankings. And I
honestly hope. What do you have this week? How many Big Ten games do you have this week?
Just 2. I've got we got Purdue and New Orleans, and okay. I've got Minnesota, Chicago State.
Ooh, is that a home game?
It's at Minnesota, yeah.
They need to play that.
Oh, no. They're playing at Minneapolis.
That would be awesome. If they
I would love to go down to Chicago State and call the game. That'd be.
You need to go to Chicago State just on like an off night. You ever been to a Chicago State game?
I've been to a road Chicago State game. They used to be in the Mid-Continent Conference, and they'd come into Valpo when I was ball boying, rebounding for the likes of Ivan Vujic and Lubos Barton.
I don't know who the hell they are, but anyway.
The best players they had. Lubos was good.
All right. Next week we'll do this. How about this? I'm leaving Thursday, driving down to Charleston. So I'll be in I'm renting a place in Charleston for a month.
Dude. You talk shit about me.
No, listen.
You are equally as not a hard worker as I am. You're just going to go take vacation for a month in the season.
It's not a vacation. I could do my job from anywhere. Haven't you learned from the pandemic?
Clearly. No, because I have to be in arenas in the coldest parts of the country, so I can't.
There aren't games. The last week of December stinks. I'm going on purpose for a week and a half when there really aren't great games. And then in January, I'll still travel a little bit. And
how warm will it be in Charleston right now?
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. So the day get there.
It's going to be cold, isn't it?
Saturday we get there, 35. Sunday, 38. Monday, 41. Tuesday, all the way up to 49.
You picked the week where that like polar deal is coming down here. So it's going to be really freaking cold where I am and you currently are, but it's going to be cold there too.
That's brutal. Tough. Absolutely brutal. So hopefully it'll warm up, but
you should have picked the Keys.
We'll be doing it next week. I should have picked Florida. We should have, although it's going to be cold in Florida anyway. I think it's just cold and everywhere next week around the country. Yeah. But all right, Goodman and Hummel Pod. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully we gave you a little bit of insight into how, I don't know if mediocre.
How scientific these choices are.
They're not. They're definitely
I'm
not.
I'm broken from this. I don't know. I'm just going to go lay on the couch and close my eyes after
this. Last thing. I know you did not get a chance to watch Rob Doster's.
No, I didn't, but I wanted to talk about it. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
I did see the video you sent me. His sideline hit was funny. I give him credit.
He picked up right where you wanted him to, right? Heavy breathing. Panting,
the water,
sweating players. He went into the huddle and he did exactly what you asked him to do, which is like, get me the temperature of the players in the
huddle. I didn't ask him to do that. I predicted that he'd be so bad at it that that's what he would do. Did the game go well?
It was unbelievable. I mean, it went without a hitch. And Fanta and Terrence Oglesby were terrific. And they were eating food from multiple places in Greenville. Halls, they were eating chicken from another spot.
Furman won by a lot, right?
No. So Furman was up by 23.
Oh.
Stephen F. came all the way back to take the lead at the end, and then Mike Bothwell hit a game winner. SportsCenter number 9 play of the day. he hit a game winner with no time left, basically.
Mike awesome. Bothwell was due because David Jean Baptiste hit the frickin' a play that he will never be able to get over unless they make the tournament this year. So he was due for that.
So it was fun. They did a really good job down there. And Doster, he looked a little nervous on his
he texted us not to rat out his text, but he goes, "Oh my God, sideline is very hard," which it is really hard.
You know, because again, and the hardest part is it was twofold for me. It was, you know, keeping it to like 20-second, 25-second hits, and they're in your ear. Producers are saying rap, rap, rap.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just got started here, man. Like, I'm a reporter. I've got in-depth info, and you can't give in-depth info. You can't.
Yeah, yeah. I did multiple games, but at the NBA, they have their two-tiered TV program. The first one's at Syracuse, where you would, like, learn how to do studio shows, call games, whatnot. The second tier is if you've done that one for the NBA Players Association Top 100 Camp, you'd call games at Virginia, which was really hard because the teams are like, you know, this is the Bulls, but they're wearing a generic jersey. So I'd be like, the Knicks, and they'd be the, like, I'm screwing the team names up. It was horrible. But you'd rotate and do some sideline too. And I was shocked at how hard it was and how easy it would be to give a report like Doster's, they're sweating and panting and drinking lots of water, you know, type.
And then he did the you know, interviews, the halftime one. And I think that was the hardest thing for him. And
that's just repetition though.
Right. You've done that. Yeah,
I used to dread the end of games for BTN. Like for 2 years I was, and think about it, how can you do a good job at calling the game if your mind is legit terror over the interview? My first one I ever did was with Kevin Willard, one of my first ones. And it was so bad. I told him this at Big Ten Media Day. I said, I was literally horrified at the questions I asked you. And he looked at me like, you have a long way to go. Like, that was the look on his face to me. But well, I was
Willard's like, tough. If you don't know Willard, if you don't know some of these guys, if you don't know them.
Yeah. They can be they can be intimidating for sure. But it gets easier, I think.
Well, I fucked around. Eventually, I got to a point where, honestly, I would ask one serious question and then try to have fun a little bit, maybe with – well, and you figured out, like, hey, no matter how good a relationship you have with a coach at halftime, you got to be careful who you're talking to.
Because they're heated and, like, there's a lot going on. Those guys
are awesome. Like, Ed Cooley, right. I remember at the Wooden, we did it during the game, like middle of the game. We went over, like I was standing behind him, and he went on and on for like 2-3 minutes. Cooley's the best. I mean, the best.
But you can get some scary situations. I was lucky. One of the guys at BTN that's with the Journey, Bill Friedman, he's like the executive producer or whatever. He sat down with me and we went through how to interview people because he does it for, and it was extremely helpful.
The biggest piece of advice, I texted this to Doster too, when you ask, and I learned this at ESPN, when you ask questions, always start them with what, why, or how. Mm-hmm. Always don't ask, you want open-ended questions. Otherwise you may get I hate to talk about it.
Questions. Yeah. I think with coaches too, you always can go to coach, congrats on the win. What'd you think about your team? That's a great first question.
Yep, because they can go anywhere they want
from there. Exactly.
But anyway, Bobby Doster, good job.
Good job, Rob.
One in your pocket, and you did one hell of a hit that Hummel was very, very.
I'm proud of you for that. I'm proud.
Like a proud. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodman and Hummel podcast. Hopefully, you enjoyed this one. And Merry Christmas. Will we do one? No, this will be it until after Christmas. I think.
All right. Happy holidays to all.
That's right. Happy Hanukkah. We'll